Morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. Tuesday is St. Valentine's Day. And I wonder how many of you remember the story behind Valentine's Day. It is called St. Valentine's Day, obviously for a reason. Approximately 250 years after Jesus was born, a priest named Valentine lived in Rome under the Emperor Claudius. And the emperor believed that men should volunteer for service in the army rather than being drafted. So there was no draft. But as you can suspect, most men in the Roman Empire refused to serve. They had much rather stay home with their wives and girlfriends and children than go off to battle. So the emperor concluded that only single men would volunteer for service. So he issued a royal edict banning all marriages. Now, St. Valentine thought the ban was ridiculous. He thought it was wrong. And because one of his favorite duties as a priest was to marry people. So he ignored the edict and secretly continued to perform marriages. He was caught, he was thrown in prison, and he was sentenced to death. The daughter of one of the prison guards visited Valentine in his cell often. They sat and talked for hours. And on the day that Valentine was to die, he left a note for the young lady, thanking her for her friendship and her loyalty, and he signed it, "Love from your Valentine." And such notes started the custom of exchanging love notes on Valentine's Day. St. Valentine's note was written on the day he died, February 14, 2069, 269 A.D. The day was set aside to honor this man who gave his life for God and for love. And now every February the 14th, people remember St. Valentine's Day, St. Valentine's, and most importantly, they think about love. I believe most everyone wants to be loved and wants to give love. The problem is our love is lacking. It is often conditioned upon our mood, or our loved one's actions, our loved one's attitude, our loved one's appearance, or our attitude. And when it comes to showing true love, I believe all of us many times fall short. So my question for you is, how do we develop and nurture a love worth giving on Valentine's Day and every day? The answer, I believe, is found in our text today, John 15:9 through 17. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read John 15:9 through 17, in order for us to learn what Jesus says regarding love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. During his lifetime here on earth, Jesus made a great deal about love. His final nights with his disciples before his arrest was no exception. During the course of the evening, Jesus uses the word love no less than 30 times in 18 different verses in chapters 13 through 17 of John's Gospel. You need not be a Bible study scholar to understand that love meant a great deal to Jesus. Love was his central message to the disciples. And in our text, in this brief excerpt from his teachings, Jesus reveals how to obtain a love worth giving. The process begins when we receive God's love for us. Jesus knew at this time that it was time for him to leave earth. The time remaining with his disciples was short, and he wished to spend such time expressing the full extent of his love for them. In verse 9, he said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love." Jesus is saying to the disciples, "I love you." A preacher said, "Everything I needed to know about theology, I learned from one song. Jesus loves me." We all know how it goes. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. This song was written by William Bradbury, and it originated from a simple poem written by Anna Wagner in 1859. A simple poem found in an obscure novel became the most well-known hymn in the world. It has been translated into more languages than any other song ever written. Why has this simple song become so universally known and loved? It expresses the single most significant and profound truth known to humanity in three words: Jesus loves me. Receiving the love of Jesus and living in his love every day is the first step to obtaining a love worth giving. Earlier in chapter 15 of his gospel, John wrote that Jesus explains, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. To bear fruit, you must remain in me." As we draw closer to Jesus and become connected with him, he funnels his love into our hearts. And only then shall we know a love worth giving, because Jesus' love is the only perfect, pure love in this world. So receive Jesus' love. Accept the wonderful, undeniable truth, which is Jesus loves you. Draw close to Jesus, showing him that you want him to pour his love into your heart. This is the first step in obtaining a love worth giving. The second step to obtaining a love worth giving is to reciprocate Jesus' love. You know, it's one thing to say, Jesus loves me. It's a whole other thing to say, I love Jesus. Are you truthfully able to make such a statement? Do you love Jesus? Do you love God? Do you live your life in such a way that it shows that you love God? We shall never be able to love the people God puts into our lives until we start by loving God Himself. Jesus taught us that the most important commandment is love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Our love for God, for Jesus, and for the Holy Spirit must be the driving force of our lives. If everything we do is not motivated by a deep love for God, then nothing we do matters. So how do we reciprocate God? How do we manifest the reciprocation? How do we do acts that show God's love is being reciprocated in practical ways? It's not too different from any other love relationship. It's based on trust, communication, and adoration. In other words, it's based on faith, prayer, and worship. Also, our love for God must be all-consuming. This is essentially what it means to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. God's love should affect every aspect of our life, not just our church life, every aspect of our life. To paraphrase Paul, loving Jesus means to give our everyday, ordinary, sleeping, eating, going to work, going to ball game life to God as a way of showing our love to Him. And as we continue to receive and to reciprocate God's love, we come to a third step in obtaining a love worth giving. And that is to recycle God's love. Repeatedly throughout our text and the rest of the chapter, Jesus says, "This is my command, love each other." Once we receive the love of Jesus into our lives and reciprocate His love, then we are ready to recycle such love, to share it with the rest of the world. Jesus was very specific about how we should love others. He said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Love each other as I have loved you. This commandment eliminates any definition which would limit the scope and the intensity of love. We are to love others as God loves us. Just hours before issuing this command, Jesus demonstrated it. He and the disciples prepared to eat their last supper together. Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Alpha and Omega, got down on his knees and washed dirty, probably filthy feet of his disciples. This was a demonstration not only of humility and service, but of unrelenting love. Jesus expressed his love to the disciples in many ways during his time with them. And here the expression was through serving them. As we seek to grow in our capacity to love, to have a love truly worth giving, we must look to the heart of Jesus and learn to love like him. Saint Valentine may have become famous for defying the emperor's edict and standing up for marriage. However, the actions which really made him a saint were he received the love of Jesus. He reciprocated that love. He loved Jesus back. And he recycled that love to others through a life of service. And if we are able to accomplish such a feat, then we are no less a saint than Saint Valentine. We should pray for this church to be a community of love more than anything else. Anyone who attends here should feel totally and completely loved. Nothing according to Jesus is more important than loving God and loving people. If we love each other as God loves us, we do not make hurtful and condescending remarks to our spouse. If we love each other as God loves us, we do not physically or verbally abuse our children. If we love each other as God loves us, we do not gossip about others behind his or her back. If we love each other as God loves us, we do not make fellow employees look bad in order to advance our career. If we love each other as God loves us, we approach a person we believe has wronged or hurt us to discuss the problem. If we love each other as God loves us, we tell someone when we are aware that others are complaining about him or her to other people in order that they can develop a solution to resolve the issue between them. If we love each other as God loves us, we shall become a church of love which will act as a magnet, and it will draw people who are starving for love into the presence of Jesus and the salvation which he offers out of love. If you are here today and you are not a Christian, we extend to you the opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We invite you to come to this altar and make a public confession of your love for Jesus and your acceptance of him as Lord, and receive the love of God with the knowledge that if you do, God's love is not yours to keep. You must share it with everyone you know. So please come and accept the gift of salvation as we sing our hymn of invitation, hymn number 290.